Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Oh no, they got pork bullets! Retreat!
That smells like the cloven animal. Blam! Oh no! I've been hit!
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. Pause. Joining me is my co-host via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Good evening.
Phone That's number it. To contact the show, 636-487-HAND. That is Men Gush Cod. If you're into the whole...
brevity thing, man.
Right. We have a hell of a show for you this evening. Our co-host Napier is not here. He actually just called in sick at 7 o'clock. The show starts at 8. Actually, he comes over at 7 o'clock, so when the time he was supposed to be here is when he called me. I actually have his voice. I haven't listened to his voicemail message. You want to hear it?
I think we should play that for everybody that's listening.
You want to hear Napier's voice? This is Napier calling me sick at 7 o'clock. I called him right back, but I saw we had a voicemail. I'm sure... Okay, you want to take wagers. Do you think he does sick voice? Sick voice... Okay, sick voice, yes or no?
Yes.
Fake cough, yes or no?
No.
Does he sigh and say sorry?
Yes.
Okay, you ready? Here it comes. This is Napier calling in sick to the show.
Hey, Mike, it's Napier. I am sick today. I'm just going to stay home. I feel like ass, and I need sleep. Well, sir, you have yourself a good show. I hope it's awesome. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Oh, man.
Oh, so definitely sick voice.
Yep, sick voice, no cough, no sorry.
Yeah, no sorry and no cough. I'm surprised. I thought for sure there'd be a fake cough in there somewhere. Now,
I thought for sure
there has been speculation in the chat when I told people during the Furnacast that Napier wasn't coming. Matt Leroy suggested that Napier was cornered by bees, and that was what prevented him from coming here. And another one, Anchor, suggested that... maybe the raccoon has taken over Napier's life. Now, keep in mind, Napier didn't do the show for a month once because he claimed that Diet Coke gave him a voice infection that made it so that he couldn't... He didn't go to work, and he didn't come do the podcast for a month because...
Don't I see him drinking Diet Coke almost exclusively every week?
Well, he switched to Diet Pepsi, which I think maybe was what solved it. Actually, that's made up. So
that was a smart move, though.
Yeah, he went to doctors, and doctors kept like telling him that they can't see anything wrong with him. So I think he went and got like a second and a third and a fourth opinion on it.
Maybe it's black mold.
And I think that he was the one that came up with the diagnosis that that he had a voice infection due to Diet Coke. But
medical professionals say there's nothing wrong with you, and he's like, "Nah, it's the Diet Coke.
It's the Diet Coke. It gave me a voice infection." I actually wrote a song about Napier's voice infection, and it's funny because we're coming up on episode 200, and so I'm kind of doing a lot of reminiscing and trying to figure out what it is we're going to do. Are we going to play clips and talk about them? I don't know what we're going to do yet. I have no idea. But one of the things that I unearthed was my song about Napier's voice infection. So maybe that'll come to light eventually. Maybe I'll just stick it at the end of this episode. I don't know yet.
Does that make you feel nostalgic? Do you feel like a teary-eyed wonderment about 200 episodes of the show?
You know, it's crazy to think that we've done 200 of these shows. I'm speaking for myself and Napier. We don't usually stick to doing things. Like I come up with these ideas of things that I want to do, and like I abandon them quickly. And this is something that we've stuck with. So yeah, I think that it's kind of, and I mean, I guess it's an easy thing to do. Well, easier for some people than others, I guess. But
it's not really that easy to make sure that you're always recording a podcast at the same time every week for 200 weeks. Yeah. I mean, you had a break, I remember, but it's a pretty stark move. You know what I mean? It's hard to commit to something every single week of your life at the exact same time.
Well, in the early going, but you know, we didn't do that many before we started going live, and since we've gone live, we've missed like very few episodes. So, I don't know what we're gonna do yet. I was thinking about. You know, I saw that a couple of people have hit, I think a couple of people have recently hit 100, and they asked like their peers to send them like congratulations messages. And
oh, that'd be nice.
I was thinking about that, but don't you think that's kind of send us a congratulations is like,
no, just say, hey, you did 200. You don't even have to congratulate. Just say, oh, I can't fucking believe you've been doing this for 200 episodes. It doesn't even have to be a congratulations. It can be, I can't believe you idiots can talk about shit week after week for 200 times in a row.
And you know what I mean? It's funny because one of the stories that I have written down to talk about, I almost was a culprit of saying it, and I stopped myself. I almost said it's gay to ask that. And did you see the story about the sweater made out of gay dude hair?
No, I have not.
There's a fella who made a sweater out of over 100 gay men's hair. And what it was made for is it has rainbow buttons, and it was made to raise awareness that using the term gay to disparage things is insulting. And so he went around and he found a bunch of gays, and he said, hey, gays, can I have your hair? I'm making this sweater out of gay hair.
So it was an open call for gays. It wasn't, this has been a lifelong mission to go through 100 gay men and get some of their hair.
Well, and the way that the article was worded was, you know, they asked the gays if they could use their hair, and they said, yeah, you can have it. But, I mean, who would say no? Who would be like, no, you can't have my, I mean, they already cut it off.
I would possibly say that, sure, you can have as much of my hair as you'd like, but you have to come and snake my bathtub for it.
You'd have to get the funky watered-down drain hair? Well,
it'd be like a, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Like, you want my back hair, come fish it out of my drain because my bath doesn't drain quick enough anymore.
Do you think that the black's hair goes in it too, and it can be used in the same way? Because it's kind of curly and dark, and
I mean, that's, I don't know if you'd have to make a specific area on the sweater. Or if it,
well, I looked at it, and it looked primarily like kind of blonde and brown. I didn't see any black hair in it, but I guess there would just be, it would be very fine strands, and it would be mixed in. But
yeah, you probably wouldn't notice it.
Yeah, but so I mean, do you make like a thread, and then use that thread to make the sweater? How do you do it?
I would imagine, to be as lazy as possible, you would take a Hanes long sleeve white t-shirt
and just glue it.
You would just glue it all. Just, yeah, soak it in like an adhesive and then just throw all the hair on it.
It looked impressive. It looked like a sweater. I mean, it was an ugly sweater, but it looked like they took a really whole lot of time to make.
He probably had his grandma make it for him. Like, here's a bag.
Oh no, there's some black hair. It really kind of looks like somebody took the skin off of a raccoon. That would be the best way to describe it. And then like put some rainbow buttons.
Did he auction this sweater off or something? Like, what did he ultimately do with this sweater?
It was featured at Fashion Week. And it's, you know, for this cause. And now I don't know where it's going. I wouldn't imagine that anybody would wear it.
Maybe Elton John's buying it.
You think?
I don't know. But the guy's got a lot of money. And
you'd
he's...
probably want to, like, display it. You probably wouldn't want to wear it. Because, I mean, you can't wash a
that is
gay
the
dude
most
hair sweater.
Amazing hipster-looking sweater that I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Like, I go to, like, college towns and see, like, dudes with beanies wearing sweaters that look ratty like that. That's amazing.
You think that sweater would totally go see Mumford and Sons?
That's sentient sweater. It, like, gained its sentience, and it went to see Mumford and Sons. Absolutely.
Well,
it's drinking a PBR right now.
I have a question for you, and it's fashion-related. I mean,
one of my favorite things to do is answer questions.
Okay. So, the Adam Levine collection is at Kmart. Adam Levine makes clothing that is sold at a reasonable Kmart price, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
But it has, you know, the Adam Levine label on it. So you know at least one cool person vouches for this clothing because it's the Adam Levine collection.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first time in my life, I'm now working in a job where, like, I wore a lot of denim shirts up until now. I wore uniforms, and now I'm wearing my own clothes. And so, like, I found that I'm trying harder to, like, dress myself and not just wear the same T-shirts that I've always worn my entire
life. Like button-ups and polos and shit.
Like polos and stuff like that. And so I'm purchasing a lot of clothing from the Adam Levine collection. But I'm kind of embarrassed of buying clothing from the Adam Levine collection because it's kind of like a dorky thing to do. You know, you say, hey, I'm wearing Adam Levine's clothes. But, I mean, I got Adam Levine socks and Adam Levine hoodies and Adam Levine...
Does he make a jean? Does Adam Levine
he makes
make
a jean. I haven't bought any of the jeans because the jeans are like $30, and that's too much for jeans. I buy jeans when they're on clearance for $15.
Heard that, brother.
Right, right. So, but I try to not tell anyone about my Adam Levine collection clothes, and I now we can acknowledge that Adam Levine is cooler than I am.
It's a matter of perspective.
Well, I think by anyone's definition, Adam Levine is cooler than I am. I mean,
I have a really hard time with Adam Levine.
He's in a band. He's on television. He has his own clothing line, and I'm buying said clothing at Kmart for value
for a reasonable price.
Now, is it weird that I'm embarrassed to wear the Adam Levine collection, even though Adam Levine is cooler than me?
I would say it's not weird that you're embarrassed about it. I don't think you should be. It's not like you're buying a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen collection, like, used from when they were on Full House, you know, or making double Toil and Trouble. No, that would be embarrassing if you're just like, man, this blouse shirt just really fits the best I've ever been able to find a shirt. You know what I mean? Does it actually have an Adam Levine logo, or is it just on the tag?
It says it on the tag. See, but no, the funny thing is they have these little tags at the bottom of the shirt, like if it was your like the base of the shirt, like where your left pocket of your pants would be.
Sure.
And it's like a little tag. It looks like an evidence tag, and it like says, like, you know, product : shirt. And then,
that's
like,
awesome,
there's a
right
couple
there.
Other things, and it's really stupid. And I've thought about, like, getting out a needle and trying to remove these tags. I like the clothes. I do. They're normal looking. It's so hard to find something without a big goddamn, like, embroidered eagle or something on it. Now. I mean,
it really is. I just want
normal shit. You know?
My wife and I will go shopping at, like, an actual, like, department store or whatever, and we'll walk through, and she'll be busy forever. And I'll go through, and I'll be like, oh, man, I really like the style of that button-up. You know, I'll see it from the front, and it's reasonably priced at, like, $14.98, you know, at like Gordman's or something. And I'll look at it and I'll be like, man, I really like this shirt. And they even have an XL. It's a good size. And then I'll flip to the next one in a color I like better. And on the back, it's like a giant El Camino or something, you know?
and jeans, man. I mean, jeans all have like big crazy shit on the pockets and stuff. And I don't want to wear like jeans for dads. You know, I just want, like, normal jeans. And I don't want to buy jeans that already have rips in them. I want to put my own rips in them. Or
the problem
not.
That I've found with jeans lately is the last handful of years is no matter... like, I'm in a weird size. I'm in a mid-size that doesn't exist. Like, apparently people have 33 waists, but they don't have 35 waists, even though I do. So when I do find, like, a 35, 34, it's, like, perfect... But the problem that I find is that everything is a skinny jean. It's like we were rummage sailing this weekend, a big community-wide rummage sale, looking for clothes for the kids. And you know, if I could find a shirt or something, that'd be great. And I found a pair of jeans in my, like, over my size, but it would have been – I would have worn them. So they're 36, 34, but they were skinny jeans. And I can't imagine the person who's wearing a 36, 34 – wanting a skinny jean.
Right. No, you don't want to accentuate those curves.
No.
You want to hide them
34.
As best you can. I'm
exactly.
I'm a 38, Travis. I got a big fat ass. I want my pants to reflect that. I want room to mask my flaws. And actually,
well, exactly.
I kind of have like chicken legs, like from the knee down. I mean,
sure.
Like from the knee up, I got some big old ham legs,
big then, meaty thighs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been a hockey goalie since I was 7 years old. You know, I got big thick thighs, but then I got chicken legs from the. How do you do that? How do you get your legs bigger, but just like the bottom half of your legs from years of neglect? Is there bottom leg exercises I can do? That I don't exercise the top of my leg and just the bottom?
Yes, you lay flat on a workout bench and then you just do those leg curls.
I feel like that's...
beef up your calves.
I feel like that's using my upper leg, though.
No, it'll beef up your calves a lot.
Huh.
The thing about me, too, is with that is I'm kind of the same way where I enjoy my legs from the knee down. And I hate everything from the knee up to my neck. So my favorite season is like sweatshirt and sweater season, where I can kind of swim in the shit and wear like three layers. But also, I love to wear shorts because then it looks like I'm not a fat ass. So it'd be like perfect if there was a season that required me to wear giant sweatshirts and then also was okay for me to wear shorts and sandals. I think that's my like perfect outfit.
Sweatshirts and shorts?
And shorts.
I wear that all the time.
You do?
Yeah. I don't think it's like a great look. But, you know, my legs don't really get cold. Just my upper half. I get a little chill, and I want to put on a little hooded sweatshirt of sorts.
Hmm.
I never wear shoes unless I absolutely have to. I hate shoes. I'm a shoeless, sockless kind of guy.
Hmm.
I will do just about everything without shoes on unless, like, I have to go to work or a funeral. Those are pretty much the only reasons that I'll put on shoes. I wear flippy floppies almost always.
Exclusively?
Yeah. I mean, if it's snowing outside and I'm not going any farther than my car, I'll still wear flippy floppies. I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to my car, and then I'm going to get something to eat or something, and I'm coming back. Chances are everybody that I'm going to has already plowed their, you know, parking lots or whatever. I'm fine.
That's interesting.
I'm a flip-flops guy. I don't like socks. I feel socks, they hold my feet in when they just want to be free.
Yeah, you want your little piggies to breathe.
Right. So we got to talk about this Johnny Depp thing.
I'd love to.
There's no way to transition from me wearing flip-flops to Johnny Depp.
I think Johnny Depp wears a lot of flip-flops.
Probably. I would believe it. I would believe that Johnny Depp he probably wears those leather sandals, wouldn't you think? I believe Johnny Depp to be a leather sandal-wearing fella. But the Johnny Depp, he's filming another Pirates of the Caribbean movie, which I never saw the last one. I don't know why they... Do people still go see Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
There's four of them. This is the fifth one. And I don't understand why you would possibly make another one.
Yeah, but he's in Australia filming the Pirates of the Caribbean. He takes a private plane and he smuggles in his dogs. And apparently that's a major no-no, smuggling in your dogs, because they have real strict rules about animals that come in and out. They all need to be tested and whatever. So the agricultural minister of Australia, his name is Barnaby Joyce, at Barnaby _Joyce on Twitter. He told the dogs that they need to bugger off back to the United States. And he gave them a death clock. He said they have 2 days to get the dogs out of the country or he's going to come and take them and have them euthanized. So fucking Johnny Depp charters another private plane to take his dogs back to Los Angeles to avoid Barnaby Joyce to come kill his dogs. And so what I thought was this would be great as like an action movie where Johnny Depp is trying to protect his dogs. So I guess we're going to figure out our connection problems. We're going to take a little break, enjoy this little bit we've put together. And thanks for being with us. We have lots of presidential matchups to get to. I guess we'll get to that in a bit.
It was a day like any other.
You know, honey, maybe this trip to Australia would be good for us. Get away from it all. Just you, me, and the dogs.
The government has started the clock. Mr. Depp has 48 hours to comply or his dogs will be euthanized.
Boo! Pistol! Get in the car, Muffins! They're coming!
One man must face an entire regime who only want one thing. To kill his dogs. Dan Furnicase is the Prime Minister.
Bring me the heads of those fucking dogs.
Dan Furnicase is Johnny Depp.
Boo, pistol, swing to safety in my voluminous scarves.
Dan Furnicase is the dogs. In Doggone.
If you want your Affliction shirts back, you gotta come get them. Strangelabel.com.
When you wake to the morning sun, aroma of breakfast that's almost done. Put on your clothes and your shoes before you eat. There's one thing to do, yeah.
Pee-pee in the potty.
Don't try to tell me
go.
No.
Pee-pee in the potty.
When you know you
go.
Have to go.
Pee-pee in the potty.
I said you when that
go.
Ends.
Pee-pee in the potty.
There's a potty
go.
In your pants. I see that it's about noon. You'll soon be eating lunch, drinking lots of juice. Afterwards, nap time you will go. And all I ask of you is to let me know if you have to go. So,
pee-pee in the potty.
Don't try to tell me
go.
No. Pee-pee
in the potty.
When you know you
go.
Have to go.
Pee-pee in the potty.
Hello, welcome back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. Still having a lot of problems. I don't know what's going on, but I guess we'll try to figure it out, right? We'll figure it out on the go. Or I guess we'll just call it. I don't know what to do. So I'm still not coming through at all.
If you say you can hear me, so I think that if I'm not responding, you should just go on wild tangents about your feelings about certain subjects. just long-winded rants, and then say, am I right? And you're not going to have anybody to disagree with you.
So then you I'll just automatically be right? I hear you crystal clear. I mean, you sound absolutely fine.
Which is amazing. I'm getting bits and pieces of your words. And like I said, my internet connection is perfect. I even shut off the Wi-Fi on my phone, and it just, you're coming through like, you know, like Johnny Five after he got the shit tore out of him by all those thugs.
Do you want to call on the phone?
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, do you want to call the number on the phone and do it that way?
Sure, I can try it out. Let's see how that goes.
I mean, what could possibly go wrong, right? Guys, we're going to play the first presidential matchup. The last round was not much of a success. On WFODix.com, we had a pretty good turnout on there. Evans won 6-2. I believe that is Jeff Bridges' character in The Contender. Camacho won 8-0. Dale, which is Jack Nicholson's character in Mars Attacks, won 7-1. And Marshall won 6-2. That is Harrison Ford's character in Air Force One. So that is one vote for the winners in each of those. On Instagram, we had a one vote on Instagram for Jack Nicholson. So Jack Nicholson wins the Instagram vote. So that's one vote for him. Nobody else got a vote on Instagram. We had one total vote. On Facebook, Camacho got one vote, so he wins the Facebook vote. No one else got a single vote. And on Twitter, Camacho got one vote, so he will win the Twitter vote. No one else received a vote on Twitter. So we had a total of three votes on social media that determined the winner of those social media platforms. So, guys, the first matchup in the new presidential challenge SmackDown, whatever we're calling it thing, will be Morgan Freeman versus here we go.
Merkin Muffley.
Now then, Dimitri, you know how we've always talked about the possibility of something going wrong with the bomb. The bomb, Dimitri. The hydrogen bomb. Well, now, what happened is one of our base commanders, he had a sort of, well, he went a little funny in the head. You know, just a little funny. And he went and did a silly thing. Well, I'll tell you what he did. He ordered his planes to attack your country. Well, let me finish, Dimitri. Let me finish, Dimitri. Well, listen, how do you think I feel about it? Can you imagine how I feel about it, Dimitri? Why do you think I'm calling you? Just to say hello?
Tom Beck.
Hello, America. It is my unhappy duty to report to you that the Messiah has failed. This computer-enhanced radar image from Houston shows how the detonation succeeded, however, did not destroy the comet. There are now two pieces, one 6 miles wide, the other a mile and a half. Both are still on the path towards Earth.
We've lost communication with the
the size spacecraft, although we continue to track it visually. We don't know how many are alive. We don't know their condition. Now we have to make some decisions together. What do we do? You have a choice. We have a choice. Right now. Ever since the comet was discovered, we've been hoping and working for the best. But we've also been planning for the worst. Our strategy has been twofold. First, our strategic missile command is preparing to coordinate with the Russians a massive strike of Titan missiles to intercept the comets. If we can deflect these comets enough, they will bounce harmlessly off our atmosphere and head on out into space. Unfortunately, the Titans cannot be launched until the comets are only a few hours away. And while we are confident the missile attack will succeed, it is only prudent that we now take cautionary steps to ensure the continuation of our way of life. To guarantee that there will be enough of us left to rebuild a new world in the unlikely event that the comets do strike the Earth. So, in the soft limestone of Missouri, we've been preparing a network of immense caves, and they're almost finished. And we can put a million people in them. And that million people can survive there, underground, for 2 years, until the air clears and the dust settles.
So we have Peter Sellers' character from Doctor Strangelove, Merkin Muffley, versus Tom Beck, Morgan Freeman's character from Deep Impact. I'm the only one here, so I'm going to throw my vote behind Peter Sellers. And Travis is not here, so I guess we'll just have to get his vote later. But you can vote on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook for who you would like to win, or at WFODix.com. You get a total of 4 votes. You can spend them all, you can spend 1, you can do whatever you want. But just know, if you vote on one of the social media platforms, that vote counts for that social media platform. So the popular vote from Twitter gets 1 vote. The popular vote from Facebook gets 1 vote. The popular vote from Instagram gets 1 vote. And the popular vote from WFODex.com gets 1 vote. So there it is. Vote now. Your overwhelming support moves me. Let's just go ahead and do another one, guys, because I don't know what else we're going to do. It's kind of just a big fuck show.
Matthew Douglas.
Hail to the chief. If you don't, I'll have to kill you. I am the chief, so you better watch your step, you bastards.
Thomas J. Whitmore.
Good morning. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live. To exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night, We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
There we go. Bill Pullman or Paxton, whichever one it fucking is, versus James Garner. I included James Garner and not Jack Lemmon from My Fellow Americans because, personally, I wanted to play that clip. So, in this one, I don't know how you can't go with Bill Pullman. I mean, the other guy, great. But, I mean, you got to throw your support behind Pullman. I don't see how that can be avoided. So that is my vote. Travis is still missing. Napier is still missing. Drunk is still missing. I am alone. I am alone in the universe. I am alone on the podcast. I don't know what to tell you. Travis?
I've been listening to this show for almost 200 fucking episodes. You guys can't even get your fucking audio figured out. That's almost 200 fucking episodes. What is fucking idiots?
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
Travis?
Yeah.
Bill Pullman versus James Garner.
Bill Pullman, all day.
And Peter Sellers versus, I don't know, whoever the fuck Peter Sellers was against. Tom Beck, Morgan Freeman from Deep Impact.
Morgan Freeman.
Okay, it's so we're split on that one. The other one, we have two up on Independence Day. It's Bill Pullman, right? Not Bill Paxton?
Yeah, it's Pullman. It's not Paxton. I don't think he was ever a president.
Bill Paxton's never been the president?
Oh, I wouldn't think so. He's too much of an overactor, right? There's no possible way he was ever president.
Huh. The chat has taken a shit. Everybody has left the chat. And I don't blame them, Travis, because we're doing a bad job.
You know what? And I thought we were doing really well. I thought we pulled it together. We you know, we're a man short at the witching hour, and the doomsday clock was rolling, and I thought we were doing just fine. I was having a nice conversation with
friends,
my friend Mike.
Our friends just bailed. They said, oh, they're having problems. They've given us 197 episodes worth of quality content, but they're struggling a little bit. So fuck them.
Support? What's that? Time to bail.
So we have two more of those. We can just keep doing those, or we can talk about something else. So let's come back to them a little later. What do you think? You want to talk about Screech?
Let's talk about Screech and the fact that he likes to, you know, what is his most famous thing is taking a dump on his ladies for a porno, right?
Now, didn't he just take a dump and then put his finger in it and give her a mustache?
Yeah, he gave her a Dirty Sanchez.
That's what that is, right? You put your finger in poop and then you give her a mustache with it. And you don't actually poop on her. Or is it still pooping on somebody? Is it still pooping on somebody?
I would consider wiping any kind of feces on somebody, you know, I mean, it's semantics, but I would say, yeah, you're pooping on it.
Right. Benny's still in the chat. He wanted us to know that he's still there. Thanks, Benny.
He's a good man.
He's the only one still there. But I think he's stranded at work, so he has no choice. He can either listen to us or watch the ceiling.
Well, and I think he was probably having difficulties clicking the Xbox. He was trying to get out of there. The computer wasn't letting him. He was having difficulties, and now he's stranded, and he's like, I might as well make it look like I'm being supportive.
So Screech was in a bar in Wisconsin, and he's being charged with second-degree reckless endangering safety Because apparently he accidentally stabbed a dude.
He didn't mean to.
That's what he said. He said, I accidentally stabbed the guy. He didn't do it on purpose. It just happened. You know, he was minding his own business at the bar, you know, just brandishing his knife, and some guy bumped into him and got stabbed. So what's funny is, I mean, homie stabbed a dude. So, I mean, that's, by any definition, it has to be like assault or fucking attempted murder, or
at the very least, it's a reckless endangerment.
But yeah, that's what it is, a reckless endangering his safety by stabbing him.
That's pretty reckless.
I mean, I see reckless endangerment being like, wouldn't that be like leaving the ladder in your pool with a bunch of kids around?
Yeah, or
isn't
like
that reckless
off,
endangerment? Reckless endangerment isn't stabbing somebody.
You lit off a bunch of fireworks in the middle of your cul-de-sac or something, you know? So that's reckless endangerment.
it happened several months ago, but he's on trial now. So that's what's going on. I wish that was on Court TV or whatever it's called. What is it
Wouldn't
called
that be
now?
Great?
If the trial of Screech was on TV, I would
watch
the trial of Screech. And you know what? I'm thinking about it, and I can't think of why this isn't a bigger story than it is. And the only thing I can think of is because the national news can't justify buying a plane ticket and taking it to Wisconsin.
No, there's nothing here except Screech, who just stabbed a guy.
Yeah, I mean, you go to Wisconsin, and you get a probably a pretty awful hotel room by the courthouse, and really you just report on Screech accidentally stabbing a guy, and then you have to like rethink your entire like journalistic career, and you have to ask yourself all kinds of questions about what am I even doing in Wisconsin at a Best Western waiting to find out the verdict of the Screech trial. And it's all that's why it's not a bigger story. If he had stabbed a guy somewhere where it was convenient for CNN to send somebody over, that would be huge.
Well, you don't want to open that Pandora's box of looking into your own self to see where you how you've stooped to covering the Screech trial, which, by the way, he's still rolling on the Screech fame. Even when he was, I saw Doug Stanhope really close to me doing stand-up at a bar, and he was sharing a marquee with Screech, a.k.a. Dustin Diamond. That's what the marquee said. Like, 2 weeks later, Dustin Diamond was showing up.
Well, of course.
He was rolling on the Screech name, which, well, how many years ago was that? Like, the college years was over 20 years ago.
Benny in the chat says he, on the other hand, is not surprised at all that Screech isn't a bigger story. But, I mean, like, think about right now. The top thing anywhere is that Bruce Jenner wants to become a woman. Bruce Jenner was an Olympian in like the early 80s, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I mean, like, but that is a huge story. And I mean, like, what has Bruce Jenner done in 30 fucking years that anyone would give a fuck about?
He was on that show on E! With the Kardashians.
Yeah, but don't you think Screech stabbing a guy is way better than Bruce Jenner growing his hair long?
Well, let's put it this way. If Urkel had raped a lady, don't you think that would be national news?
If it came out that Urkel raped a bunch of ladies?
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of them. Like, it came out like 20, 30 years ago, Urkel was raping all of his co-stars and giving them like weird shit in their drinks and like letting them pass out, and then he was fondling them and shit. That'd be a huge story that nobody would forget. And it for surely wouldn't get coverage for a couple of weeks and then fade from the public eye.
Where is Urkel?
Dude's fucking tore up. He doesn't have to rape people. That guy is fucking GQ all the way. Like, look up a Malcolm or whatever fucking Jaleel White or whatever the hell his name is. Dude's fucking pretty fucking studly.
Is he just, he's just set. He doesn't have to do it. Now, wouldn't you think that Screech would be set? I mean, why does Screech have to do anything? Can't Screech just chill out and live off his Screech money?
Yeah, that's sweet syndication money that you should be able to blow. Although I think that I heard a podcast with Zach Morris, and I think he said that they all got fucked really early on because nobody thought Saved by the Bell was going to be anything but a Saturday morning TV show.
I'm not saying that I'm not saying that they probably like can have a whole bunch of fuck you money and never work again and live like luxurious lifestyles, but they could probably buy a house in Wisconsin and chill. And
oh,
fucking...
man, you can buy the houses that you can buy in Wisconsin compared to where you could on the West Coast. You can get, you know, the shit that I see people, like celebrities paying for, you know, they're paying $16 million for this house on the West Coast. You could get that for a fucking sweet $500,000 in Wisconsin, anywhere, on the water even, in right. a really nice little community.
And, I mean, you just chill out. You don't have to go to work. What do you – you don't need yeah. a whole lot.
No. You have syndication money coming in.
I remember a really long time ago, back in the day, they interviewed Howard Stern had the guy who wrote that Spirit in the Sky song. You know what I'm talking about? Spirit in the Sky,
oh, yeah.
where you gonna go when I die? When I die,
yeah,
when they lay me down to rest, I'm gonna go to the place that's the best. You know what I'm talking about.
I know, yeah, I know they've commissioned it for a bunch of fast food commercials.
That
so.
Fucking guy wrote that one song, and he's never had to do another fucking thing ever again. He just lives off that one fucking song, and every now and then they put it in a movie, or they put it in a commercial or something, and he just lives off that forever. Now you're telling me fucking Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell is on four channels right now. If you scroll through right now, you're going to find Saved by the Bell on your TV. It's on TBS or TNT or the TV Land or something.
MTV2 was playing it for like 6 hour blocks at a time.
I mean, it's on right now. You're telling me he doesn't get a couple bucks a couple times a week for fucking that show coming on syndication?
I'm sure he does. That was right. That was before everything blew up to where you were still making, if you were on TV or if you were making music, you're going to make some fat cash. It doesn't necessarily work like that anymore unless you're a Big Bang Theory and you get sold into syndication. Then you make all the money. But yeah, Saved by the Bell, what did it last? Like 10 years with the college years?
Right.
And I think there was even some times it was like the new class and the only people that carried over were Mr. Belding and Screech.
And
you don't see Mr. Belding stabbing anybody.
Right, and then that came back. They got Screech and Mr. Belding, and he probably got paid to bring that back because it was such a success that they could continue to put it on TV with just Screech and Mr. Belding.
Yeah.
You're telling me that he didn't say, okay, I'll come back and do this, but you're going to fucking pay me.
Right.
And then he did the
up
college
next,
years.
After...
Fucking Screech
yep.
did everything.
And I think he was like a Hollywood Square for like 500 episodes as Screech. Look, Dustin Diamond, a.k.a. TV's Screech.
You want to talk about a fellow on some hard times. This guy that I saw on Vice today, his legal name, he had his name changed to HostGator.com. He's
HostGator.com? Promo code WFOD.
He's a 34-year-old guy. He fell on some hard times, and so he had this brilliant idea that he's going to start selling ad space on his face. He charged anywhere from $75 to $1,000 to have your company logo tattooed on his face. And, I mean, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of tattoos. The ones that I could make out, he has pornfidelity.com on his left cheek. He has drfreak.com on his forehead. That's Dr. F-R-3-A-K. I guess Dr. Freak was taken, so they did like the leet thing. And he has that on his forehead. Spew.com on his right cheek. Xhamster.com on his left cheek. Cunrunners.com on his neck. Minka XXX.com on his forehead, above Dr. Freak. He has a giant back piece that is GoldenPalace.com. NutriAdvice.com on one arm and VioletEyes.com on the other. Somebody Google VioletEyes.com and tell me what it is. I'm curious.
You know what my favorite one that he got, though? I saw this story, too. It's the WFODicks.com where the O is his anus.
Now, this story is on Vice because, you know, he had all these companies. He went to these companies. It was his idea. I mean, it's not like a bunch of people, you know, came up with the idea all at once. I mean, he solicited these people and said, I will sell a piece of my face to your company if you pay me $1,000. And so they bought it. And I don't think that I would buy it. I mean, Travis, if me and you came... Would you be willing to pitch in if me and you came up with $75 and offered it to somebody to get WFODicks.com tattooed on their forehead?
You're fucking A right.
Yeah, but I mean, I need to be pretty fucking sure that you actually got it tattooed. You're not just bullshitting me and writing it with Sharpie.
Well, the biggest problem is, too, like, I've seen people with face tattoos in real life, and I don't look at them. I look away.
Because it's weird.
That's not great,
right,
advertising.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to see that.
The GoldenPalace.com probably paid a lot for this back piece of this guy. But then all he's got to do is wear shirts, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, then you'll never get your advertisement unless he goes to the pool. I just don't think it's worth it. I mean, that back piece was probably expensive. I'm not really sure how much tattoos cost. But I imagine an entire back, say, in GoldenPalace.com, and he can't be paying for it. Because I mean,
that's hundreds of dollars.
Why would he pay for that? GoldenPalace.com paid for it. And so... He went to Vice, and he says to Vice, hey, you know, I have a daughter now, and I'm regretting my decision. And
like,
do you think that maybe, do you think, Daddy, why does your face say drfreak.com on it? And so, you know, could your readers donate money to me to afford the removal of these tattoos. And also,
doesn't he have to pay all of those people back then, too?
Well, that was going to be my question. They raised $32,000 to get these tattoos removed. But does some of that involve, like, going to xhamster.com and, like, paying them back? Because I would imagine xhamster.com, you know, gives a monetary investment to a guy, they're expecting his entire lifetime. I mean, because that's the
of
way
course.
Tattoos work. 34-year-old
sure
guy probably hasn't had that on his face for the amount of time that they were expecting. So, like, if you were MinkaX.com, would you look into suing this guy for, like, breach of contract? I don't know what kind of paperwork goes into... A guy agreeing to get your logo tattooed on his face. But there has to be something, right? I mean, they're not just writing you a check willy-nilly.
No. Listen, if there's no repercussions and he's able to sell ad space and then he can just get these tattoos removed fucking willy-nilly, I'm on eBay in 15 minutes willing to do the same.
Just getting them removed? You're willing to...
Oh, see, but tattoo me up. Tattoo my back. I'll get a giant back piece of, you know, cumguzzlers.net. And next week I'll be like, you know what? I just think it was a really bad idea.
See, in a spot,
to have some chick sucking a dude off and getting sprayed with semen tattooed on my back. So I would like to get that removed.
In a spot where you can't even see it, like the back thing or, you know, they had it on the arms or something. I think that would be worth it. But, I mean, like, if the most he made was $1,000 to get spew.com on his right cheek, are people really that cheap? Can we get people to do things that cheaply?
I don't know, but if we can, I want to set up a Kickstarter right now for us to tattoo somebody's face with our website.
We need some kind of volunteers, like somebody who just has nothing else going for them. I mean, like, what if we just, like... Do you think there's... Where can we find people that are down on their luck that we can get to do things really cheaply?
The bus stop.
Pardon me, sir. I see that you don't have your own form of transformation. How about a proposition?
What, working like the graveyard shift at a Perkins, waiting tables? Like, hey, I see that you're waiting tables and you're serving eggs sunny side up to all of these drunk people at 3:30 in the morning.
See, but and those people are ideal because they work in customer service, so they get a lot of imprints.
Right.
You know,
I can clear it with your manager for you to have this sweet face tattoo, and we'll raise money to get it and pay you.
Yeah, I mean, just like get it. Like, what if they just got it like right below their nose, like to kind of look like a little mustache, like a WFODix.com mustache. See, but I just imagine this guy. I mean, he's learned that this is a way that he can generate income. What if he gets all these tattoos removed for the $32,000 that they paid, and then just tats himself all up again with new companies?
Just does it again.
And, I mean, maybe he'll go for more reputable. I mean, now he's got a little bit of internet fame. Now he's, you know, on Vice and all over people's Facebooks and Twitters and stuff. Now there's probably some bigger companies that are willing to pony up to have a place on HostGator.com's face.
Well, and he'd probably be able to be featured on, like, Ink Master or some shit like that next season.
As like, a special judge, yeah.
Well, or like, the project. Like, every one of the tattoo artists has to tattoo him in a different place with the company name.
Yeah, the anchor says in the chat that the Dave Harvey from the Lotus Cast will do it. I wonder how much we could pay Dave Harvey. Like, what would he take to, like, just get WFODix.com tattooed on, like, one of his arms?
Didn't he just suck a or drink some toe tea to get, like, a trip to Maine or some shit?
Yeah, yeah. He sucked on Matt's toe for a ride to Maine.
Hey,
let me go to a wedding.
Let me ask you a quick question. Do you think Matt got a boner when he did that?
I don't know.
I'd have a hard time believing it would even matter. If somebody sucked on my toe, I would think that I would, you know.
You know, I'm very, like, ticklish or something to all that. That just makes me jump. Like, when people, like, mess with my nipples and stuff, I don't get into that. I just immediately jump and freak out and scream. I don't like it. And I don't like people messing with my toes. And I don't like people messing with pretty much anything. But if people touch my belly button, that freaks me out. I'm not very good with people touching pretty much anything but my dick.
You just
touch my dick. That's the only place that I want to be touched.
Hello, welcome to meet you. I'm Bob Johnson. You know, Mike Moore, is that your name? Let me give you a little tug here.
We're going to do a little bidding thing. Well, I'm calling him out.
I think what we need to do,
Dave Harvey,
I think that we need to get some sponsorship money, and we need to put it towards the Harvey tattoo.
Yeah, I think we can raise the money. I think if between me, you, Napier, and then whatever we can get, you know, our legions of fans that are so supportive of everything we do, I think that we could probably come up with a decent figure to make it worth Mr. Harvey's while. And I'm not even asking for a face tattoo. I know that's probably just crazy. But what about like a chest tattoo?
Shit, I'll take it. Like, an ankle tattoo would be fine.
Yeah, just something where it might get seen sometime.
Or a wrist tattoo, that'd be fine.
Wrist, that would be good. That would be great. Yeah, yeah. Make it like a little bracelet. Like, instead of what would Jesus do, it would be like WFODix.com.
I think this is a genius. I don't see why he wouldn't do this.
And you know what? I'm not just going to leave it to him. Anybody out there, if you want to make a quick buck, you just contact me and let me know. I think that we can get this done.
Yeah, leave us a voicemail or send us an email or contact us on Twitter and we'll make it happen.
All right, let's crank out these last two presidential things and call it a day. Here is the next one.
Alan Richmond.
So you are playing. You okay?
Who'd you like that?
Will you slap me?
Alan Richmond.
People want leadership, Mr. President. In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
Lewis, we have had presidents who were beloved, who couldn't find a coherent sentence with two hands and a flashlight. People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference.
So we got Alan Richmond from Absolute Power, played by Gene Hackman, versus Andrew Shepherd, played by Michael Douglas from The American President. I think that the only people that you could, I don't know. See, I think that Napier would probably go with Alan Richmond because he likes the idea of him slapping around broads. But Andrew Shepherd is my vote because he's an actual president. That Alan Richmond, he's just a scallywag.
Travis. You're going with Michael Douglas? You're going with Michael Douglas?
Going with Michael Douglas on this one.
I'll go with Michael Douglas, too, because he just seemed like he just needed some loving, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's looking for love. Who was he banging them? Was it Annette Bening?
Yeah, it was Annette Bening.
Annette Bening, she's pretty all right.
Yeah, lovely lady.
Yeah. So, that's two votes for Michael Douglas, but we're not the only ones voting here. You can vote on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and WFODix.com. You can vote a total of four times.
And I'd say you can open it up to a fifth time. You call 636-487-4263, and you leave us a voicemail.
There you go. Leave us a voicemail. We'll count those two. Anchor points out in the chat that Gene Hackman also played the president in Welcome to Mooseport. So he was a two-time president.
And he was a wholehearted prick in Welcome to Mooseport.
I don't believe I ever saw that.
Starring Ray Romano. Ray Romano was a small-town guy, owned a hardware store or some shit, and he also wanted to be president.
Did he want to be president, or was he running like for mayor or something? I guess it doesn't really fucking matter, does it?
That's hard for me to say.
You want to do the last one?
Let's do the last one.
I'm pretty excited. Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
The first round is about to be over on this bit that's going so fucking well.
It's going well. With so much engagement. People are so into this, and I'm just happy that we were able to put it together for them.
Right, that's what we do it for, is the support of the people.
That's right.
Stephen Hathaway.
Sir, it's a dire times like this when I stop and ask myself, what would Oprah do?
Hang it all. What's the point? It's a disaster.
Stop! Don't do it!
That button launches all of our nuclear missiles.
Well, then which button gets me a latte?
That would be the other one, sir.
What idiot designed this thing?
You did, sir.
Fair enough. Wilson, fire somebody.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Listen up. I'm not going to go down in history as the president who was in office when the world came to an end, so somebody think of something and think of it fast.
That is a good cup of Joe.
Mitchell.
Unfortunately, money management's only going to get us halfway to our goal. In order to get the rest of the money, we're going to have to really start making some tough choices. The Commerce Department.
Yes, Mr. President.
You're spending $47 million on an ad campaign to boost consumer confidence in the American auto industry.
Yes, sir. Well, you see, it's designed to bolster individual confidence in a previous domestic automotive purchase.
So we're spending $47 million so that somebody can feel better about a car that they've already bought?
Yes, sir, but I wouldn't characterize that way.
No, no, I'm sure that's important, but I don't want to tell some 8-year-old kid that he's got to sleep in the street because we want people to feel better about their car. Do you want to tell him that?
No, sir. No, I sure don't.
So Kevin Klein versus Stephen Colbert. Travis, this is really a toss-up. What do you think?
This is a hard one, too. Was the Kevin Klein one, was he a gay in that one?
No, he was not a gay. He was it was Dave. He pretended to be the president. And so I guess he was two different guys, both the same guy. So he gets double credit, right, for playing two different characters, I guess. I think I'm going to go with Kevin Klein just because he played two different guys who are both president in the same movie.
I'm going to go with Kevin Klein, too, because I don't picture Stephen Colbert as a president, even animated.
Then he's Canadian.
And he's Canadian. He can't be fucking president.
I don't actually know if that's true. Well, I might have just made that up. He does have kind of a Frenchy sounding name.
Yeah, there's a possibility he's Canadian, so I'm gonna go with Klein. He was in A Fish Called Wanda. I'm going with him. You know what bums me out? I was looking at the bracket earlier, and it makes me sad that we forgot about President Scroob.
From Spaceballs?
From Spaceballs.
But he wasn't president of the United States.
No, he was president of the galaxy.
Yeah, but these are all presidents of the United States.
All right.
But yeah, I would have voted for President Scroob.
All right. Well, at least we know we have two votes for Scroob.
Guys, I mean, it's been a real humdinger. In the Hollywood Fantasy League, Furnacast's pick Tomorrowland ended with a 60% Metacritic, $64 million. So it made 38 points. So we're our second round pick, Mad Max finished quite a bit better. I think we have a 40-point cushion. So we just need Jurassic Park to score 40 points or less than the Avengers.
You know what pisses me off about Mad Max? And I know it doesn't impact the Hollywood Fantasy League at all. But it's been, what, it was all 3 weeks ago? It's already out of the theater in my town.
Oh, yeah?
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. It just kind of seems like things come and go so fast.
I guess this time of the year, it's summertime. I guess if you don't see it the first couple of weeks, you're kind of fucked. But
yeah.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, there's a lot coming, and so they got to kind of push them through.
I think Avengers is still playing.
That increases the urgency. It lets you know, hey, you better catch this fast or it's going away. Right?
It also fucks over the theater chains who don't make any money until the second and third weekends.
I don't know. But, yeah, we thank you for coming.
I hope you listen. If you're listening to this in podcast form, if you made it this far through all of the stuff, even after Mike's editing, I thank you for that. Let us know what you think at 636-487-4263 and vote for the Hollywood SmackDown President Challenge.
Right. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for being here. And
yeah, in the meantime, buy a t-shirt.
We don't really sell t-shirts anymore anywhere. We should. We should sell t-shirts somewhere. Go to strangelabel.com. Listen to all the shows on there. Yeah. Bye.
And that's Napier's mama.
Bye.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye. So.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 Central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. And follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.